That was a feast, wasn't it? Love that. So Ben and Sarah are away with the children for this weekend, having a break, and me, who's been around for a wee while, really encouraged him to do that, because I think it's really important, you know, when he's giving out every Sunday, that, you know, his family are well cared for. So just bless Ben and Sarah and their family as they are spending some time playing. Yeah, so practicing Lent. Now, you'll know that last week we didn't mention it really, because we had visiting ministry, and so Ben was a bit concerned that we're running a bit behind, but we'll get caught up. So my one is the fourth week, which we're probably really almost into the fifth. But anyway, it is about reading Psalm 23. And it's an interesting thing, Psalm 23. Just a memory that I have before I do start. Just this memory I have, it was a lot of years ago now, because it was about when my oldest boy was 18, and he's much older than that now, as am I. And he had a girlfriend at the time, who her cousin tragically was killed, and there was a church service held for her. And I just remember her being absolutely blown away with the thought that she wasn't a Christian, she hadn't been raised going to church at all. But she said the most, and I'll just never forget this, she was just like blown away that at that meeting, with that church service, farewelling her cousin, that people were asked to stand and say the 23rd Psalm, and everybody knew it. It was like she just was like, that. They didn't have a book, there was nothing for them to see, but they all knew the 23rd Psalm. And, you know, I don't know whether it's today we could say the same, but, you know, that was definitely something that really affected her. And the 23rd Psalm is powerful. I wasn't born and raised in a Christian home either, and it was not a natural thing for me to understand and know Scripture. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful that God has put the Word of God within us. And, you know, he's given us a mind, memory. Mine fails sometimes, but, you know, we have the capacity to remember God's word, and I'm just so grateful for that. So just before we start, I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you that you are our God and you are our shepherd. And, Lord, we lean into you today, God, and we say that we need you. We need you. There's nothing that would satisfy our soul more than you, Lord. You are our God. You are our King. And we unashamedly say that we love you. We adore you. We bow before you, God. And you are good. You're a good, good Father. And you're a good Shepherd. So, Lord, I just commit this time to you, and I pray, God, that you just inspire us with your word, because your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wonder, Bernie, good to see you there. Thank you for your support this morning. If you could put up the 23rd Psalm on the overhead. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this word together. And it's in, I think, the New Living, so it might be a little bit different, but let's just start now, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings.
Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So before I sort of start really with a few thoughts of this, I've asked Bernie to put on a couple of clips. It was one big one, or about like 11 minutes, I think, but I'm not going to spend that whole time in that. So we're going to just start. And just the whole thought of David, you know, as a young man out with the sheep, looking after the sheep. And I just, that whole thought, you know, when we're here in New Zealand, you think about shepherds, and I think it's a different environment to that which was talked about in the Bible. And this guy, his name is Jack Beck. Beck's a good name, isn't it? Jack Beck. And I found this YouTube clip, and this guy, he goes into the Holy Land. He goes into these areas because he feels that part of the Word of God, the characters are also the land. You know, he says, like, the land is a characteristic of what was happening at that time. So I would just put both, you know, like one clip and then the other one straight after it. That'd be great. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? The reason I didn't put the whole thing in is he's journeying with some shepherds. And, you know, you can look that up yourself on YouTube. But I just love that, you know, when we're with the shepherds in our life, we don't lack a thing. And that really is, you know, the 23rd Psalm. You know, God is just with us and he has everything covered, everything. And, you know, I'm sure that every one of you in your life has had a wilderness time, an experience where life is pretty tough. Maybe that's where you're at the moment. I'm glad we're not all there together. God is so wise. But, you know, we have these moments, these seasons in our life where life is tough and they are like a wilderness. And God promises us that in the midst of that, there's still plenty for us. He still has his provision for us. Now, where do we go? So, we're talking about Lent. We talked about, the thing with me with the wilderness was just that whole thing of, you know, Jesus had a wilderness experience. And I think sometimes as Christians we can think that we're in a wilderness experience because of us, because of what we've done or haven't done. But actually God allows these wilderness experiences because he wants to show himself to us. And isn't that the kindness of him? This psalm is a song of confidence and trust in the Lord. And David wrote it. He says there it was penned, or, you know, like in that time of David as a shepherd. I'm not sure about that, because when you look at David's life, there were other wilderness times. But I think that as a young lad learning to be a shepherd, he was alone a lot. This is very different to how we look after sheep in New Zealand, you know. It's done on foot. It's done with your supplies for more than the day, you know. It might be a few days. It might be into weeks. Finding food for the animals. Just trying to sort of, okay, go, where to from here? I knew that was right. We think about Israel, how they'd crossed over into the promised land. They were led out. Do you remember that? Where Moses couldn't go on, you know, and God let him see the land. And I'm reading the Bible chronologically this year. So I can tell you now, Leviticus was a bit long.
when it's just your daily reading. And I, you know, I always read some Psalms, but, you know, Leviticus is a bit long. But, you know, it's really good when you start to get into some stuff that's not just about what you can and you can't do. It feels like a lot of rules in there. But here we had Moses, he gets to see the promised land. God takes him up. I mean, I'm just blown away with this. Just going to say it to remind you that God takes him up into the mountain and he can see the land. And the reason he can see it is because he still had extremely good eyesight and he actually had really good health. But he went up there, he saw the land, and then he died. And God buried him. And they never ever did find his bones. I find that incredible, really, that his time was up, he went up and he saw the land and then he died. Oh. So up to that point when they went into the promised land, they'd never known what it was to have a king. They'd never known that. You know, they'd been led through the wilderness and they entered the promised land, and then they actually got ruled by judges for a period of about 450 years. So there'd never been a king in Israel. And, you know, you could say, well, was it ever God's plan? But, you know, God is amazing, isn't he? How he knows what he's doing. He knows what he has to redeem to get us to that point. And so here they were, the people of God were being ruled by judges, but they cried out, saying, they went to Samuel. And if you remember, Samuel was an incredibly amazing miracle too. Samuel was born to his mother was Hannah. She'd been childless, and she goes to the tabernacle and she's desperate to have a child, and she's crying out to God. And she makes this vow: if you would just give me a son, I will give him back to you. I'll loan him back to you. Eli the priest saw her, and then he thought she was drunk, actually. And then she talked to him and told him what it was that she wanted. And he said, oh, you go home and go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. And she became pregnant, and she weaned him, gave him to the Lord. And Eli raised him up in the tabernacle, in the house of God. So Samuel, and the reason I'm touching on this, because I really feel strongly that God's talking to me about, he wants to talk to us. So Samuel's lying down. He's only a young lad, and he heard his name called. Do you remember the story? And he gets up and he runs into Eli and wakes him up and tells him, you know, yes, I'm here. You know, what do you want? And Eli's going, oh, I don't, you know, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. And this happened three times. And the next time, it kept happening, and Samuel gets up and he goes back, and Eli says to him, you know, he said, you just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I have had such a sense of this really resting in my spirit for a few months now. And I think that God's trying to get our attention. He has things to say. And last weekend we had the prophetic seminar, and it was really said that how the prophetic has been released again. And thank you, Beth. This morning, you know, we have had a wonderful prophetic word to encourage us and build us up. So Ben spoke on the transfiguration of Jesus. Do you remember that? That was sort of, I think, maybe the first week of Lent, or might have even been the week before that. And he said about how the voice came from the cloud. And do you remember what that voice said? Hear him. Hear him. And then I think 2 weeks later, we were asked in our Lent book to read Psalm 95, verses 7 to 9. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because I think it has a real a depth to it. Psalm 95, 7 to 9. For we are those he cares for. We're talking about God's caring for us, and he is the God that we worship. So drop everything else and listen to his voice. For this is what he's saying. Today, when I speak,
Don't even think about turning a deaf ear to me like they did when they tested me at Meribah Imanes, the place where they argued with me, their creator. Your ancestors challenged me over and over with their complaining. Even though I had convinced them of my power and love, they still doubted my care for them. So we had Samuel, he grew up serving the Lord and he becomes a prophet. And eventually, the people of Israel have been under the care of judges for 450 years. And what did the people of Israel suddenly want? They want a king. And they really rebelled, demanding a king. And Samuel was upset about that, but God said to him, that's what they want. And don't take it personally, Samuel. They're not rejecting you. They're actually rejecting me. Give them the king, and they'll be surprised what they get, really. And they got Saul. And so Samuel anoints Saul as the king. I thought it was interesting with that, and I won't go right into that, but just, you know, Saul was like a very tall man. Said that he was actually like, from shoulder above, higher than everybody else. So I thought, is that where that saying came from? Or he's heads and shoulders above other people, you know, like we think about that. But, you know, so here he stood out. But Saul disobeyed God. He'd been anointed as king. And then he disobeys God, and God tells Samuel that actually he's got to anoint another king. And he goes to anoint another. And I'm just going to read out of 1 Samuel 16. Oh, how about that? I went to 18. That's pretty good for me. I got a new Bible. it's a bit long, but I'm going to could you put that from verse 1 through to 13 just up, and as I read it. No, just the New King James is fine. I'm going to be reading from the New King. Oh, that's whatever. We'll have both. So now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears me, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one that I name to you. So we see here that Samuel is hearing from God. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. So he's looking with his natural eyes. But the Lord said to Samuel, so he's hearing from God, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Ain't that the truth? So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? He'd had seven go before him. And he said, oh yeah, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. What's that mean, ruddy? It actually talks about like having a really good colour in your flesh. I think that's the whole meaning of that. It wasn't all pale, had good colour. Not surprising, he was actually a shepherd boy, wasn't he?
So he's ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. Now, we'd already said that God doesn't look on the outward, but, you know, happens to be he's actually good looking anyway. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel arose and went to Ramah. I love this. So he's got, I mean, we know that by biblical tradition, who has the most sort of authority in the family? It's the older one, isn't it? The older one's likely to get the blessing and get the goods, really. But here is number 8, and he's been out and he's been looking after the sheep. Now, they say that he was about 15 at this point. How long he'd been looking after those sheep, I don't know. But he had been out there looking after sheep, not been hanging out with his older brothers. He gets anointed, and then Samuel takes a hike, you know, off he goes. And so where does David go? He goes back to the sheep. So he's been anointed, but he gets back to the sheep. I find that incredible. I wonder how he felt about that. I don't know how long he'd been doing it. I don't know exactly why that had happened. He did get called away from the sheep at one stage. Does anyone remember what that might be for? Saul. Saul had a distressing spirit. And he was obviously quite hard to deal with. His servants were finding him quite difficult. And one of the servants suggested that they actually get somebody to play him some nice music and soothe his soul. And one of the other servants said, "Oh, I know somebody who does that. He's a shepherd boy." And so they got him to come in and he played the music and soothed the soul of the king, knowing that he had been anointed to be king. It's pretty incredible, isn't it, really? Such is the heart of this lad, I think. So, and then we have, I'm just, I hope this is all right, everybody, but So he's a worshipper. He'd been spending the time with the sheep. He'd obviously been playing. When he went to see Saul, he took a harp. And so he had a music ability, and he went and soothed the soul of Saul, and Saul wanted him to come back and stay there. So at times, though, he would occasionally go and return to his father's sheep. So his heart was actually about the sheep. He had a heart of a shepherd. His father asked him to go and take food to his brothers. This is when the Philistines were causing quite a bit of problems, and he was asked by his dad to go and take food to the brothers. The three older brothers had gone out to serve Saul with this in the army, and go and check up on them and bring him news. And so David gets up in the morning, leaves the sheep with, I love this. I actually think we should put this up there. This is, I'll get you the right reference. Chapter 17, verse 20. Hope that's the right one. Wrong scripture, I think. David rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with a keeper and went as Jesse commanded him. I love that. He could have just gone. He was commanded to come and his dad had said, "You know, I want you to go. You've got to take the food to your brothers and go and find out how they're doing and come back to me." So he leaves the sheep with a keeper. That's the heart of a shepherd, isn't it? He didn't just go, "Oh, well, Dad's told me I have to go and do this. Too bad about the sheep." He was looking after the sheep. And his oldest brother, when he gets to there, his oldest brother says to him, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." So to me, this young lad is out looking after the sheep. His older brothers are in the army. it sounds like there's some stuff gone down, don't you think? Like, for a start, why have you come here? What have you done with the sheep? You know, almost like questioning his ability to even look after the sheep. And then, you know, you've just come down to see what the battle is all about. So just this very accusatory type language towards his younger brother. And David didn't retaliate. He had the heart of a shepherd. But while he was there, he got indignant about the fact that this Philistine was going to possibly think that he was going to do stuff and he dared to call into question God and God's values and God's God as God. Who does he think he is to rail against the God of Israel? That was his take on it. So he really was quite upset by that, but he actually made himself available. Do you remember that? And he goes into the situation where he talks to Saul and he says, I can fight him, I can take him. And Saul tries to give him all his armor, like, you wear my armor and you'll be right. And he wasn't right. He put it all on and he was like, I can hardly move. He's obviously quite a bit smaller. Saul was a big man. So he actually did his own thing, really. If you remember that, he took off the garments of Saul and he had a slingshot and he picked up three or five little pebbles and he used one to take the Philistine giant Goliath down. And, I mean, that's huge in itself, isn't it? And then he runs over and takes his sword and cuts off his head. This is not a timid 15-year-old boy. This is somebody who's actually learnt to do some battle. And he says that. And he said that to Saul. I have learnt while I'm a shepherd to look out for the flock. And, you know, a bear comes and takes, has a go at me and I just sort him out. There was no fear in him. He'd actually been in this place. I guess the thing I want to really reiterate that in a time where he was on his own, without parental supervision, without buddies, he actually learnt how to stand in a place of protecting others. And, you know, the reason I think that he was such a good shepherd was because he had the good shepherd. You know, that God himself was teaching him in hard times, like we face. If we can just know that in our moments, when it's hard, when we're alone, when we don't have our big brothers, our big sisters looking out for us, we have a God who is looking out for us all the time. And so in that environment, he is getting taught how to shepherd. And I just want to say that in our lives, whatever you are going through at any time, any wilderness moments, you can trust that God is doing something in your life. He's changing, he's rearranging, he's teaching, he's imparting. And you might say, well, I'm not really a shepherd. I'm not talking really about you being a shepherd. I'm talking about you being healed, whole, and able to do the things that God calls you to do. But a heart of a shepherd is a heart after God. Says that about that God saw him as he had a heart after God. I'll come back to that one. So David was told by the Lord, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. So that's when he came to that time where he became king. Saul was stepped down. Saul was like, he actually, God had it so that he actually would step into being king, which is an amazing thing. But it was almost
15 years later, if we've got those dates right. Because it says that that David became king when he was 30 years old. Let's go to 2 Samuel 5. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. There's quite a bit to cover, but I just want to get that point across. You know what I'm saying here? That our God is able to make us anything that he wants us to be in the midst of any trial that you face, in the midst of any loneliness you face. And I can say myself, I know what loneliness is. I know what being separated is in seasons. I've experienced that. I am so grateful for what God's taught me in those places. And so just having a heart that says, God, would you teach me whatever it is that you need to teach me. So in 2 Samuel 5, then all the tribes, this is verse 1, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore all the kings of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. He did spend those 15 years that I'm talking about from the time that he came out of that sheepfold. He spent a lot of time avoiding Saul, really. It was not an easy time for him. It was a hard time. So his learning continued on. He didn't just learn it while he was a shepherd boy. He went into another kind of training, but he learnt so much stuff at that point. So I'm just basically was wanting to just really point out that the time of David as a shepherd boy, he'd spent some of that time knowing he was going to be king. And I don't think that would have been an easy place for him to have been, but it was a place where God taught him so many things. So when we look at the 23rd Psalm, and if we could have that up, thank you. So he knew, I'm going to stand over here. So he knew what it was for the Lord to be his shepherd, and that he had everything that he needed. He wasn't running home all the time looking for more handouts. He learnt to live with what he had. And he said, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. So he would have had to look for those meadows. When you think about that kind of environment for the shepherd, there was an incredible amount of work that he had to do to find grass, to find grazing. And, you know, God is always looking for the grazing for us. He's always putting the food before us. And when I think about it, it's not just our natural food, it's our spiritual food. God is wanting to grow us up into all he has for us. And he will lead us and he will provide for us. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honour to his name. This is the shepherd who has got, you know, do you remember when Moses was bringing the people out of Egypt? And, you know, they were disappointing God at times. And God was like, I don't know if I can deal with this people. And Moses was like, but they're your people. And if you do anything that's not going to be, you know, right, they'll say, well, you brought them out here to destroy them. And God never did that. It was the heart of people that had caused their undoing, really. So he guides me along the right paths. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. We've all got dark valleys to face in life, haven't we? But he says that I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. God never leaves us going through the valleys. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So that implements that the shepherd uses to fend off the predators and to give direction to the sheep to go in the right direction. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. This sounds slightly different language, doesn't it? When you look at those first four verses, it's sort of very much about the sheep and learning about, you know, like the psalmist is sort of saying, even when I go through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid. You're close beside me, and your rod and your staff comfort me and protect me. That sounds more like, you know, I'm learning to be guided by God. And then it gets into this verse, next one, where it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. And this, to me, seems like an incredible way of God being the host. He's like, he's prepared a table. He's got things set up. He's anointed him. Interesting enough that he did get anointed, and he was anointed at that point. So we just carry on. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and your unfailing love. And I personally think of that more as mercy. And you know, to me, mercy means action. God in his mercy always acts. I don't always. Do you know, we can have a heart that's touched by something and then think, oh, perhaps I should do, or I could do, or I will do, or I might do, or maybe I will do next time. You like me? You know, where God would just be, he's merciful, and in his mercy, he actually has action. He actually does something. I'm not sure that I'm always in that space, and I long to be there because that is the heart of the God. That is the heart of our God. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In the Bible times, the shepherd lived with his flock and his everything to them. He was their guide. He was their provider. He was their protector. He was their physician. Sheep are not like a lot of other animals. We know that, you know. You think of your dog, if it gets something on it, what will it do continually? Lick. They do, don't they? You know, cats do the same. If they've got something going on, their natural thing is to lick. Or if they've got a itch, they'll scratch. But sheep don't really do that much. They get a bit stuck sometimes, you know. And, you know, I think about sheep. I've got a little bit of experience, not much, but if they get on their back, they're stuck. And if they're big and they're on their back, they're really stuck. You know, and there's no, they need their shepherd close, don't they, at that point? So I just really, I'm all over the place, but I just, my thing is, if you can just get this today, God is good. God is great. God is able to take you through any situation that you face and grow in you his goodness. Not just for your sake, but for the sake of others. We've sung songs this morning about being the bread, you know, for others. And, you know, that's our whole thing should be, our life should be, that God is making me something for other people. That what he gives me is not for me alone. That he is the good shepherd. He is completely trustworthy. He will guide us in all our ways. He'll never let you down. I've been walking with the Lord for more than 40 years, and I can honestly say that I've had some ups and downs, some, you know, pluses and minuses, but God has always been good, has always been good. And my heart is that in his goodness, he wants to speak to us, he wants us to listen to him. He wants us to do the things that he asks us to do. And so if we can just, this week, you know, I really encourage you to read Psalm 23 every day and ask God, what's the part of the psalm that speaks to me? What are you speaking to me about right now, Lord? Because I want to hear that. I want to absorb that which you see in my life, that which you want to heal, that which you want to change, that which you want to release, that I would be bread for others. We can trust him. He's a good shepherd. He's a good, good shepherd. Can we stand and we'll have this song? You're going to.